Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to present on behalf of the study team, Project Connect, and our project director, Christine DeRosa. Project Connect is a multi-level intervention to address STDs, HIV, and pregnancy in middle school and high school students. We're in the fifth year of this intervention, funded by CDC. And what I'm going to talk about today is one of those intervention levels, which was interventions in the school, and specifically addressing condom availability in the school. It's not a group level intervention, it's not an individual level intervention, but more of a structural level intervention, taking policy that's current in the school district and optimizing the implementation of what is existing policy. To give you some idea of where things stood when the intervention began in 2005, that despite progress, the teen birth rate in the U.S. is much higher than in most industrialized nations, as we learned so well from the plenary presentation of Dr. Douglas this morning. In addition, in Los Angeles, at the beginning of our intervention, half of all new STDs were occurring among persons in the 15 to 24-year-old age group, and 63% of all of our 43,000 chlamydia cases reported in LA County were between 10 and 24 years of age. So the purpose of this study really is to evaluate an intervention designed to increase awareness and utilization of a school-based condom availability program, one of the levels of intervention. Condom availability program, I'll also refer to this as CAP, make condoms available in the schools as part of a coordinated school health program. LA Unified School District implemented condom availability policy in 1992 that affected all of their high schools. And LA Unified School District is the second largest school district in the United States, with approximately 700,000 students. Based on formative research, when we began the study, most students, over half, were unaware that they could get condoms at their school. Fewer than one in four sexually experienced students ever received condoms from the program. And we also knew there were multiple barriers to school compliance with this policy. Primarily, the lack of awareness among educators in the schools, assistant principals and principals. And in many of the schools, some of the higher risk schools, those positions would turn over annually or every other year or every 3 years. A principal in a failing school rarely lasts more than 3 years in a position. So our intervention goals were to enhance the implementation of the mandated programs, to increase the number of students who were aware of these programs, and increase the number of students who actually received condoms from the programs. So essentially, the implementation stages were stages of change model. We found when we went into the schools to begin the interventions that they were at different places with respect to implementation of their school mandated programs. Mostly they were in pre-contemplation, which meant we moved them through the process through these various steps. Some were actively implementing their programs, but not necessarily in compliance with what was the district's policy. With others, we only needed to really expand and advertise the program. In fact, one of the quotes from one of our assistant principals when we first went in was, "Condom availability program, what's that? Do we have one?" So it was a simple intervention in some instances, in others more difficult. So essentially there are 12 I'm reporting on data from 12 LA high schools, and these schools were actually matched. Initially, we matched them based on the teen birth rate, the STD rates, the ethnicity, the size of the school, and geographic considerations, basically to make sure that they were as far apart as they were as possible and still matched so as we could avoid intervention bleed between the schools. And and one of each pair was assigned intervention versus control. We excuse me. We conducted 5 yearly cross-sectional data surveys between the spring of 2005 and 2009. And the surveys, which collected about 3,000 to 4,000 surveys, randomly selected 9th and 12th grade classrooms for the surveys. It was a self-administered 30 minutes in English or Spanish, and it was completed in one class period. So the measures that I'm going to present today for the condom availability program outcomes were, first of all, awareness. Does someone at your school, like a nurse or counselor, give out condoms to students who want them? And secondarily, thank you. Utilization. Have you ever gotten condoms from this person at your school? And we analyzed the data based on the covariates, the demographic, the school pairs, pregnancy, receipt of other health services. And then the data that I'm going to show will actually be overall, whether they have ever had sexual intercourse, and which basically is sexually experienced. So overall would be everyone experienced and not sexually experienced ever having been sexually active. Sexually active would be intercourse within the last 90 days. So it was a mixed model, logistic regression used in the analysis using STATA, and we tested for intervention effects for males and females separately and for subsets of the sexually experienced and the sexually active schools. And then we looked for interactions of the condition, intervention versus non-intervention, for each of the years. So here's just to give you a sense of the sample characteristics. There were over 14,000 in the control condition and 15,500 in the intervention. Because of the large sample size, some small but statistical differences were observed between conditions. Both groups had approximately 54% female and 80% Latino, and slightly more African Americans in the intervention than in the control, 11 versus 9%. In terms of the control participants were reported to be slightly higher sexual activity, 48% versus 46%. And then those that were sexually active in the past 3 months was about 76% in both conditions. Okay. So the next series of slides, I'm probably showing far too many, but I want to just, I think once you get familiar with how I'm presenting them, it will be very much easier. Because what I'll present is the findings comparing the intervention with the control overall for utilization and awareness, and then for the sexually active and the sexually experienced individuals. Okay. So for in this slide, this is for all males, regardless of whether or not they were sexually experienced, awareness decreased significantly between year 1 and year 4 and between year 1 and year 5 compared to the control. In general, overall, males in the intervention schools had increased awareness of the program in the later intervention years, which is really what we expected. In this slide, the average percent of sexually experienced females. Let me see. Okay. Regardless of their sexual experience, awareness of the program at year one started at about half, 51%, but by year five was 67%. In contrast, among females in the control school, awareness remained at 50% or less in all study years. The increase in awareness among intervention females from year one to year four and year five was significantly larger than the change among the control females. Okay. Okay. This overall, with males, we see a significantly larger drop in utilization between year one and year two for the intervention males, but by year three, we see an increase that is marginally significantly larger in the intervention than the control. And in year four and five, this increase is significantly greater than for the control males. Okay. Okay, this slide shows the average percent of females utilizing the condom availability program. With females, we see a similar drop in utilization. However, there's no significant difference between intervention and control. By year four and year five, however, utilization among the intervention females has increased significantly more than among controls, even if this difference doesn't look very large in size, 16 to 21%. Okay, so overall, our data collection years and compared to students in the control schools, students in the intervention schools had significantly increased awareness of the program, as evidenced by increased program utilization. And we saw similar results for students who ever had sexual intercourse or who had intercourse in the past 3 months. Some of the limitations of the study is it's all self-report. It may not be generalizable. Not all high schools have a condom availability program. Again, what we worked with where there was a very progressive policy for making condoms available in the school. And finally, awareness and utilization of a condom availability program do not guarantee that there will be increased condom usage. So, in conclusion, enhancements to program implementation are feasible, they're practical, they can be low cost, and just minor enhancements of existing programs and policy can have substantial improvement in implementation. Intervention increases youth access to condoms, but efforts to increase condom use are still very much needed. I think particularly in light of the lack of adequate funding to know that we can enhance such outcomes with so low cost that it's extremely important to work in the policy areas that affect the structural policy areas. Again, I want to thank my colleagues on the Project Connect study team. Thank you. Yes.
When happens for the children, do you offer other services as far as like STD tests and everything, or actual kind of demonstrations, or do you just give the kind of
This was there was no individual or group level intervention. We also matched based on whether schools had school-based clinics. And some of those school-based clinics did provide other services that included screening for STDs and health education. But this particular intervention didn't really provide any of that. And I think that's why, you know, it's so important to have a control group when you're looking at this, especially an intervention over a long period of time, because there are things that do change, we know will change, and the best way to to measure that is to have a control group.
And were the parents allowed to opt out in certain states? I know in certain states,
yes, that's true. It's an opt-out. It goes out in the beginning of the school year. And but very few parents actually opted out. But it was one of the barriers because the person's responsible. And the schools were always concerned, well, what if this is one of those few that comes in? How am I going to know? So they would have to look it up to see that they were not or were eligible. Yes.
Yeah. Any explanations about the drops in utilization for year two for males and females?
Well, I think in those early years, all of it was related to kind of getting the program rolled out and getting it implemented. And so, you know, I think we were more focused on once we had it in place and were able to sustain it over time, the effects that we saw. And you know, but we saw it in both intervention and control, so we don't. We don't really know. Yes.
In the six intervention schools, what sorts of promotion activities did you engage in to make aware of this?
Whatever the school would allow, the principals and the schools have a lot of discretion in how they, you know, implement programs. So in some instances, it was we developed a brochure, a poster that was posted around the school, distributed by in health classes through the school nurse. There were other interventions that basically ensured that the school population was aware of what was going on. Okay, thank you.